Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
And so tonight we're privileged to have Jason visiting for the weekend together with Tosca and James and some others who came up just to serve our music teams a bit for the weekend and to serve us in ministry. James has been leading the worship team in our Stellenbosch congregation for the last, how long, 4 years already. Time flies when you're having fun. You're plugged in, Jason. And just been so great just to see how not only the team has flourished, but how God's been working in him and working in his life and through his life, being able to watch from afar a little bit and kind of stay in contact and hear the stories, just how a young man is growing into God's calling upon his life. He's a second generation minister. You're way too tall for that, Jason. We had to use this one this morning because Tosca's short. You can make it higher, okay? You can just write a song about that. Lift the table higher. And so, just a privilege to have Jason here today. He's got a real just gift on his life, obviously musically, but also in ministry, in a heart and a passion for the presence of God. And so, it's a privilege this evening to receive from him. Thank you for taking the time for being here. I know when we're young and single, traveling is fun. And so, it's awesome having you here, but there's sacrifice in that as well. And we really, really appreciate that. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks so much, Pastor Philip. Thanks so much, everybody. It's so good to be here. How amazing is the presence of God? How transformative is the presence of God? Oh my goodness, Birgit, thank you so much. She could hear that I was struggling. Turn to your neighbor and tell them Jesus loves you while I drink awkwardly. Tell them again. One last time. Amen. So good to be with you guys. We've had the privilege as a team of coming here to Pretoria for the last 3 years, every year around about April, May. And if I'm completely honest, it is one of my highlights because it is so incredible, I guess, the reverence that this house has for the presence of God. I have the honor, along with Tosca and James and Remo, who is part of the Shofar Band team. We travel. It feels almost presumptuous to say, but we travel the world and we get to do this in different countries. We've been to America, we've been to Namibia, we're going to Zambia. And every time I come here, there's just something so incredibly special. And for that, I want to honor you guys for stewarding what it is the Lord has imparted into your midst. It takes great boldness and great courage to do that, even through the stages of our lives as we go through it. But almost first, I want to honor Pastor Philip and Pastor Yaku for their faithfulness over so many years. These leaders love you. And not just do they love you well. They really do. So, I'm from Nigeria, for those of you who can't hear the accent. And as part of the Nigerian culture, we have this thing called Pastor's Appreciation, which happens once a year, typically around December. And for Pastor's Appreciation, typically what happens is the church doesn't just pool their assets together to buy stuff for the pastor. They buy loads of things, like cars, multiple. So I think when my dad used to pastor in Nigeria about 20 years ago, there was one pastor's appreciation. They bought 3 cars for him. So I'm not giving you guys ideas for how to love your pastors, but there's a reason the church in Nigeria is so massive. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to jump into the Word. Jesus, we need you, but oh my goodness, thank you for grace. Thank you that we have you in great measure, Jesus. We need not go far. We need not go far. We honor your presence. And God, this evening we honor your word, your impenetrable seed of God that is able to save our souls. We humble ourselves beneath your word. Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from your mouth, God. And we prepare ourselves today, we prepare our hearts to feast on your word. Why don't you just do that for a moment? Just respond to that. Prepare your heart. In the parable of the sower, the word of God sometimes falls on ground that isn't fit. Won't you just ask the Holy Spirit to make your heart fit for his word, not for a messenger or a vessel, but for his word tonight? Yes, God, we are hungry, we are ready, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, welcome, Shofar. I must give the disclaimer up front. When the Lord typically gives me words, it's usually massive vision stuff. And we're going to delve through quite a lot of scripture, about 15 verses of it out of the book of Ephesians. But there's a lot of context that needs to be laid for the book of Ephesians, I guess, not just biblically or not just for Christians in general, but for us, we as a house. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that Jesus is what? That Jesus is King, is news that we need to visit regularly, right? Every day. We don't just visit it the day we get saved, the day we engage it the first time. I believe it's Charles Spurgeon. I could be wrong. Please don't correct me. But it's Charles Spurgeon that says, probably, the gospel saves the unbeliever and sanctifies the believer. I.e., the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, like the book of Romans teaches us. But also, we revisit it consistently. We revisit who Jesus is, what it is he's done. Because we use it to give ourselves context for our times. We are not just citizens of South Africa. We are not just citizens of Africa. We're not just members of a church. There is a deep spiritual reality that burns in a place that is far more real than the skin that insulates our organs. It is far closer and far more pressing than the air we breathe. It is the realest thing about you. And I need us to understand that for a moment, we need to step out of our circumstances. We need to step out of our issues. We need to step out of our pain, out of our broken relationships, out of our fear, out of our concerns, and contextualize ourselves again around this truth that we are not of this world. We might be in this world. We are not of this world. If you follow Jesus, what you've signed up to do is be born again, i.e., you are dead from God's perspective. You have died. We had baptisms this morning, and it's such an incredible repetition of what it is that's gone on in the Spirit for every single believer. But if you've been baptized into Christ Jesus, you've been baptized into his death. It is not I who live, says Galatians 2, but Christ who lives inside of me. What does that mean? I have very few rights, very few opinions, but I am not of this world. The overshadowing power of the living God that reigns inside of me is available to me upon my entry into Jesus' death. So as Shofar, there's one of the big words that has been following us for a long time as a movement, and it's of God, definitely of God. But I would love today for us to contextualize it around something of what the Bible says about how we should live. Amen. So just for the sake of us being on the same page, Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 3, this is the word. We've had it at many convergences. It's a promise that God has given us. And it's a promise that God gave us. We didn't fabricate it, right? We didn't invent it, get into a room, and think it was a good idea for that to become the promise. God gave it to us, we believe. We've laid access to it by faith. But it says, arise, arise, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord shines over you. For look, darkness will cover the earth, and total darkness the peoples. But the Lord will shine over you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to your shining brightness. What is God saying to Shofar, to everybody who lays themselves at the foot of this promise and makes it their own? He says, listen, you might be downtrodden. You might be confused. You might be destitute. You might be in exile. You might be very far away from everything that you seem to think is normal, everything that you'd expect. You might be on the downside of society. Wherever it is you find yourself, so says the sovereign Lord arise and shine. Every single time God speaks, something happens. God said, let there be light, and light was. Let's do a practical exercise right here. Let's all direct all of our faith to this spot right here and say, let there be a plant. One, two, three. Let there be a plant. Maybe it didn't work because we didn't all say it. So let's try it one more time. One, two, three. Let there be a plant. I don't know how to break this news to you, but there's no plant there. That makes us, by definition, very different from God. Because if God said, let there be a plant, I guarantee you there would be a plant right there. How do I know that? Because he said, let there be light, and let there be a sky and an earth. Let there be animals. Let there be birds. Let there be fish. And look at the world as it came into being. He created. If he proclaims something, it is truth. It just is. It exists. Therefore, if he says, I love you, surely it is the truth. It has the same authority because it was the same person who said, let there be light, who breathed the world into existence. So if he says, I love you, that is probably the truest thing about you. Are we together? What happens if he says, arise? Then get your booty up and arise. Arise and shine. Why? Because your light has come, says the Lord. Full stop. There's no negotiation. There's only rebellion. And we don't do that, do we? So either we rebel or we obey. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Now that's amazing, and that's a promise that's available to us. So I suggest we shine. But shining is quite vague, right? What does it mean to shine? I cannot become incandescent right now. I mean, I'm wearing a yellow hoodie, but I can't shine, right? I believe that there's some scripture around this concept. You know, this idea of shining is deeply connected to the fact that God calls us to realize the truths of the gospel, that we are not of this world, that we have stepped out of our brokenness, we've stepped out of our pain, we've stepped out of our stories, we've stepped out of our circumstances, and we've stepped into the power and the holiness of the living God. Holiness is the call of God to all those who arise and shine. Holiness is one of the most beautiful, one of the most phenomenal things about God, because it is the very essence of who he is. The very definition of God is holy. And if I'm completely honest, the holiness that I would love to present to us today is not a holiness that is completed when we do not do sins. When we don't swear, which we shouldn't. When we don't drink, which we shouldn't. When we practice sexual morality, which we should. That's not the end of holiness. The end of holiness, I would like to submit to us, is realizing that whatever God is, whatever he must be made of, by the Spirit of God, by the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, by the same power that called every single person here out of their graves, out of the darkness and into the light, we are that. We are extensions of the personhood of God in Christ Jesus. Right? So let's read a lot of scripture. The function of this scripture is the reason why we're going to read 15 verses this evening, is just so that we can wrap our minds around a bigger section of what it is God would have us do. Scripture is useful when it's one verse, two verses, three verses, but this is a necessary application of holiness, I believe, for the context of arising and shining, Shofar Pretoria. So let's start Ephesians 5 from verse 6. I'm reading out of the CSB if you want to follow in your Bible. I encourage you to follow in your Bible, maybe underline things as they stand out to you. If you don't want to do that, it's also on the screen. We're going to breeze through it. I'm going to see if I can't exegete it while I'm going through. So stay with us. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things. Therefore, do not become their partners. For you were once darkness, and now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, testing what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful to even mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed to the light is made visible, for what makes everything visible is light. Therefore, it is said, get up, sleeper, arise, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. That is pretty, but that is pretty long. So let's walk through it. Let's walk through it together. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments. Let no one lead you astray over what your call is. One of the primary themes in the New Testament, whenever the Apostle Paul writes, especially epistles like Ephesians and Colossians, he spends the first half painting this phenomenal picture of what Christ has done. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing. He crafts this image where we come to understand what it is Jesus might have done, who it is Jesus must be, that the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in Christ Jesus. Christ descended into the earth. Christ became a man. He lived through everything we live through today. Hebrews says we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, sympathize with our weaknesses, but in every way he was tempted. He lived through everything we went through. He probably went through political instability. He went through teenage hormones. He went through financial ruin. Every way in which we are tempted, Christ was tempted. He did not sin because he was God. And then at the moment that was appointed by God, that if you narrow your view to 3 seconds in the time realm, looks like cruelty. But if you expand your window of time to all of eternity, looks like the love of God for you and I. At the right moment, Jesus died to become our salvation. So that we can arise. So that we can be holy. So that we can be like him, right? But it doesn't stop there in the epistles. It never does. Now that this case has been laid out, now that this thing has happened, now that Christ has died, now that you've entered into Christ, now that you've been baptized into his death and into his resurrection, now that you have newness of life, now that you have freedom and deliverance and the love of the Father and every single thing that the Father extends to you in Christ, now that you do, Colossians says it, Ephesians says it as well, walk in a manner worthy of the calling that you have received. The way the Christian walks is directly informed by understanding who Jesus is, what Jesus did, how Jesus died. It's necessary. It's only in understanding who Jesus is, God, eternity past, eternity future, he lived. He didn't start existing. He is God. Period. He will never not be God. He will always be God. He will never not be good. He will always be good. The sooner we understand that, and then the sooner we see ourselves visualized within the context of Christ's death, seeing what he went through, seeing our personal sin on the cross, seeing it there, nailed to his hands, watching him bear our sin, not the sin of the world in the general esoteric sense of, oh, everybody's sin was laid on, but my sin, your sin, our individual sin on the shoulders of Jesus. And we recognize that because, directly because he went through that, we can arise, we can be holy, we can have this joy that we enjoy together, we can have this new life. And on top of having this joy and this newness of life and every good thing in this world, we have it for eternity to come. Romans 12 verse 1 says this, therefore, in view of God's great mercy, I beseech you, brethren, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. This is your reasonable and proper worship service, whatever the word in your translation of your Bible is. The most important part of that verse for the context of today is reasonable, proper. It makes sense. If Christ did exactly what it is he says he did, it only makes sense. It'll only make sense for you and I to give everything. And if we are giving everything, if we decide that that is exactly what we're going to do and that's how we're going to respond to the gospel, then let no one deceive you. Verse 6. Don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let anyone tell you that Christ isn't coming back. Don't let anyone tell you that Jesus excluded you from his work on the cross. Don't let any ministering spirit discourage you. If you've put your faith in Jesus, you've been saved by grace through faith. This is not an act of any man that anyone would boast. We did nothing. Nothing. If we did nothing to earn it, how would doing anything disqualify us from it? Right? If we did nothing to earn it, how would doing anything disqualify us from it? Now, Christian, if you've been saved for any longer than 2.5 minutes, you'll probably realize that as soon as you give your life to Jesus, the next thing that happens is you sin. Oh no, you're the first one. It's just you. It's literally only you in all of human history that's ever sinned. You give your life to Jesus, and I'm speaking to people who follow Jesus, obviously, for 2.5 minutes at least. And the next thing you do is you become aware of something that you've done. You say something, you blah, 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 blah. But no, Jesus saved you. Jesus saved me and you. We didn't save ourselves. Amen. Doesn't that encourage somebody today? You didn't save yourself. That means you don't have to save yourself. You don't have to help yourself. You can just ask Jesus to help you. So don't let anybody make you believe that. And most of all, the next couple of verses are actually just an expansion on what happens in the very next sentence. Therefore, do not become their partners, partners of darkness. We only partner with the light. We only walk in the light. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. Not any bit. We walk with God in the very essence of who he is. Does that not sound profound to us? Therefore, if it means, and when I communicate these things, we must hear it within the context of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that met us when we gave our lives to Jesus. Most of us who've done it, we did it in response to some altar call that says something along the lines of, who wants to meet Jesus as your Lord and Savior? The invitation never changed. Jesus is still Lord. And he is still Savior. He will still be Lord tomorrow, and he will still be Savior. So when we encounter darkness, what do? We engage Jesus, the Savior. Save me, Jesus. Help me. Give me courage. Give me strength. Help me. Empower me. Propel me into all righteousness. Change my desires. Make me so offended with this insert sin here, thing that I'm doing, that I cannot do it. Convict me, Lord. Draw me out of darkness continually and into holiness. There's a reason that God calls us to do this. It's because He desires that we would be exactly like Him. I'm not going to take too much longer today. It's because I really believe that the essence of what it is that the Lord is wanting to say to us is just that. Do not grow weary of doing good. Do not grow weary of the journey of Christ. Do not forget what He has happened, what He has done in your life. Do not forget the invitation. Don't. It's not worth it. Do not forget that once upon a time, God said, arise and shine, for your light has come. He called you, He called me, called us. And He gave us the promise that nations will come to our light. That people who don't look like us, who don't speak our language, who don't come from the same worldview, they will be so attracted to the very essence of who we are, not what we do, who we are, they'll come to our light. They'll come from wherever it is they are. Kings will come, but you must arise. We must not ever grow tired of doing that. We must never forget that. One of my deep beliefs is that the concept of the quiet time, the way we understand it in the West, is actually just a wrapping around that remembering. God, I'm waking up this morning and I'm choosing to remember your promises. I'm choosing to remember who you are. I'm choosing to actually remember that you're the beginning of my life, that you're the realest thing about me, that your love for me is the most important thing. Every day, the basic mundane discipline. For way too long, and I'm speaking to charismatics tonight because I'm speaking to Shofar, from time to time, we love deliverance. We love healing. We love a rad worship service. Am I the only one? We love it. It's nice. If God can heal us in an instant, amen. Amen, hallelujah. I'm signing up. I have a sore foot. If God can heal me in an instant, amen, hallelujah. But guess what? The Christian life is a call to arise and shine. It's a call to walk out of darkness and into light. It's a call to live in the phenomenal grace of the Holy Spirit and the healing power and the saving power and the words of knowledge and all of that. But it's a call to also put away the works of the flesh and expose the darkness and to become like the light. And that's not a one-day thing. It's not a two-day thing. It's not a one-month thing. It's a 10 years from now thing, a 40 years from now thing, an 80 years from now thing, God willing, for some of us. So Christian, I beseech you today and for every day of your life hereafter to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Do you know what's the beautiful thing about a sacrifice? It's gone. If I sacrifice meat, I can't eat the meat. It's gone. I've lost it. I've given it up. If I give something, in an ideal world, I've given it and it's not my problem anymore. The Christian life is the paradox of I've given my life away to Jesus, but I'm still alive. I beseech you, offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This only makes sense. This only makes sense in the context of the gospel that you and I responded to, the gospel that we walk in, the gospel that we believe is the hope of the world. And can I bring a word of encouragement to everybody sitting in this room today? If you're sitting in this room today and your hope is in Jesus and Jesus is your Lord, you are included in God's plan for the redemption and the salvation of this world. If you feel like it, great. If you don't feel like it, you're included. You need to know that. You need to believe that. That whatever sin is being killed in your life is evidence of the fact that God fulfilled his promise to save us all. So won't you stand? This evening, I feel the only way to reasonably respond to the word of God as preached is for us to individually consecrate ourselves. And the concept of consecration comes from the Old Testament. When there were instruments that were in the house of God that were set apart for God's use only. Just God's use. That means they didn't get hauled out for a party that happened to happen in the synagogue. They were just for God. And I believe that there's an invitation for all of us to enlist in that way, to consecrate ourselves, to set ourselves apart for just God. Again, every single person in this room today. I really believe that. Because ultimately, we are God's property. We are, the scriptures say, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own possession, chosen to proclaim the praises of him who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So won't you just close your eyes and let's make it practical. Won't you just, I believe that right now the Holy Spirit has been speaking to a lot of us about darkness. He's been speaking to a lot of us about challenges and secret sins and struggles that we've had and things that the enemy has used to accuse us, things that the enemy has used to try to disqualify us from the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe right now the Holy Spirit is showing us those things. And the way to respond to that today, I really believe, is to give them to Jesus, to put them at his feet, to give them to him and then to not pick it up again. So we're going to keep a moment for us to do that. If you feel even led to respond, please feel to come here and to lay it at the feet of Jesus. If you need prayer, Tosca's standing right there. She'll pray for you and she'll facilitate. But if you're consecrating yourself to the Lord, if you're laying down your sins, if you're laying down the darkness, if you're laying down the sins that so easily ensnare us, that is business between you and God. You're consecrating yourself to God. You're his property. You're not my property. You're not this church's property. You're not this movement's property. You're his property. You're not this nation's property. You're not your street's property. You're not your race group's property. You're God's property. So let's begin to do that. To lay down the things of the world and to pick in its place up Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And his righteousness in this place. Amen. And we're just going to keep responding and then we're going to flow into worship. But won't you just respond to the Holy Spirit. He so delights in our repentance. He so delights in us coming back to him.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and his glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.